These are so faded in red, I can hardly read them. So bear with me. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This is the last message in our current series that we entitled Breakthrough. And I trust that we've been challenged and helped, and our faith level has risen as we've listened to the Word of God for breakthrough in our lives and in our ministries. I just want to commend the guys who've shared this series up to now, for Kevin, who started us off on personal breakthrough. Luke spoke to us on breakthrough in our service and in our ministry. Steve talked to us about breakthrough in the church. And last week, Alan spoke to us about breakthrough in the family. And I just want to commend those guys in the way that they've brought the Word of God to us over these last weeks. And I trust that God's Word has been rich to your heart. You know, friends, breakthrough is something that is never out of date. We are always believing God for breakthrough. And I pray that as we've listened to breakthrough in our personal lives, breakthrough in our service and ministry, breakthrough in the church, last week breakthrough in the family, that God will have done something, that you might be experiencing some area of breakthrough in the ministry that you've heard. And if you haven't, then you will be pressing in to receive breakthrough in that area. My mandate this morning is to speak to us about breakthrough in the community. Before we turn to the Word of God, let's just pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray this morning that your word will be like a sword that pierces the heart. I pray that, Lord, it will be like a hammer that breaks in pieces the rock. I pray that your word will divide, Lord, spirit, soul, and soul. And, Lord, bring that quickening into our lives. In Jesus' name I ask it, that the name of the Lord might be glorified even more amongst this church. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. Breakthrough in the community. There are three questions that I want to address this morning as we look at this subject, breakthrough in the community. The first one is, what do things look like now in our community? How are things looking now as we view the community where God has placed us to serve? The second question is, what impact are we making on our community and communities through the life of the church? What impact are we making on the communities that God has called us to serve? And thirdly, if God were to grant us breakthrough, what would breakthrough look like? By the grace of God, we will address those questions this morning. Friends, I want to say this morning, the church is the only organization that exists for those who are not yet in it. Every other organization exists for the people who belong to it. We exist for those who are not yet in it. Those who are not yet in the kingdom of God. Friends, let me say this morning, I've said it before, but it's worth saying again, our biggest congregation is not in here. Our biggest congregation is out there, in the communities where God has called us to serve. The fields are already white and ready for harvest. And the community where God has placed us to serve Him, that is our immediate harvest field. That is our Jerusalem, the place where we live and work and spend most of our time. That is our immediate harvest field. We are one church in three locations. Here at Billingham, in Stockton, and in Redcar. And in all of those three areas, friends, I want to say we are serving in a ripened harvest field. All of those three fields are white and ready to be harvested. And there is no shortage of candidates for people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The will of God is very plain concerning mankind. God is not what? Willing that any should perish, but that all, how many? All may come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That is the purpose and the will of God. And we find ourselves serving in a community where the vast majority of people see no benefit or see no relevance in a relationship with God. Certainly they see no relevance in the church of Jesus Christ. In other words, friends, they are not voting with, they are voting with their feet when it comes to the church. They're not coming. And even if they did see a relevance in the church, apart from being hatched, matched, and dispatched, those three main areas where people will turn up at church, they will never ever darken the doors of our churches. Time for business, time for pleasure, time for anything else. The Bible says, in the last days, men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Time for everything and anything else, but no time for God. And yet in saying that, there was a staggering survey that was made just this Easter time that reflected that 82% of the population would come to church at Easter if only they were invited. 82%. 82 people out of 100 would say yes to coming to church if only they were invited. Well, Easter's passed. If 82% would come if they were invited at Easter, I don't know what the percentage would be if every one of us invited someone to our guest service next Sunday, but that's a challenge, isn't it? People would come if they were invited. And it's into this vacuum, into this society, into this community that God has called us to serve in, that He has said that we are to be salt and light. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That they might see your good works. Let me tell you, friends, if our life and if our church life, if good works are not part of it, then our light is not shining. If good works, I know we are not saved by works. We are saved through faith, not by works alone. But once we have been saved, let me tell you, works play a big part in our walk with God. You show me your faith, And I will show you my faith by the works that I do. Faith and works go hand in hand. Years ago, church life revolved around two meetings on a Sunday, the breaking of bread, and the gospel service on a Sunday night. And two midweek meetings that were usually the prayer meeting and the Bible study. And most of church life and what took place in church life took place in the confines of the four walls of the building of the church, or the church building. Most of what took place was geared to meet the needs of the Christians who came there. Except, I think, for the gospel service. That was usually the shop window of the church, usually took place on a Sunday night. And that was the service where you were encouraged to invite people along to who didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. But on large, the church, and I'm not just talking about our church, I'm talking about the church in general, apart, I guess, from one exception, the Salvation Army. Apart from the Salvation Army, the church had very little interaction with the community. Our journey in leadership began here 32 years ago when Owen and myself came here to Billingham. One of the first things that we did when we came here 32 years ago, we started a children's meeting midweek. And that meeting used to cater for around about 50 to 60 children who were unchurched. In other words, their parents didn't come to church. Then Owen started a parent and toddler group. And that catered for young mothers who didn't come to church. We looked at these things that we did in those days as forms of evangelism to reach people with the good news of Jesus Christ. After school care came along in February 1995. It started with four children in the back room of the church, or the church building. Please understand when I refer to the church, you are the church, referring to the church building. It started in the back room with four children, and the numbers steadily grew. When we acquired the Lowgrange Infant School in November 1999, we named it New Life Resource and Conference Centre. It has now been renamed and we are now known as New Life Family Centre. When we acquired that premises, it took our community involvement to a whole new level. Our after-school and holiday care that started with four children now have 50 children attending from the ages of 5 to 11. We have a day nursery with 26 full-time places. We have a baby room that has 13 full-time places that cater from 0 to 2 years of age. And I think it's a wonderful thing that in our daycare department, it is fully booked with a waiting list. Oversubscribed. All in all, our daycare department that looks after children caters for between 150 and 175 different families every week. On top of that, 30 children, averaging 30, sometimes a few more, sometimes a few less, about 30 children attend our midweek meeting for children that takes place at the family centre and run by our children's team. 40 plus young people, sometimes they can get up to 60, but 40 plus young people on a regular basis attend our youth meeting. Between 20 and 40 people attend the parent and toddler group that we run as a church. If you were to add these up, we have some 300 different families every week involved in New Life Church through the different activities that are being run by us. 300 different families. We employ over 20 staff. I think it's about 23. Some are full-time, some are part-time. Two-thirds of the staff that we employ are employed by us but don't come to New Life Church. They are just employed by us. We have between 6 and 8 different students every week who are sent to our departments from the colleges round about for training. They come into our daycare department for training with NVQs and what the courses that they're going through at college. Colleges send people to us. Friends, our family centre has become a community hub for families in this area. The vast majority of them don't attend New Life Church. I thank God that God has been gracious to us and He's given us a facility second to none. We have a wonderful facility from which to operate. Our partnership with SureStart also means that through the different courses that are run from the centre, the courses that, apart from what we do, the courses that they put on a weekly basis, including the mums that visit the midwives who are placed in our centre, 200 more families come through our doors on a weekly basis. So our centre every week, as a direct effect on over 500 different families that come through our doors on a weekly basis. 300 different families come from what we are involved in. 200 other families come from what SureStart are involved in. If you were to add to those that 500, another 50 to 60 people who use the centre and attend the physio, that the physio department that the National Health have now placed in our centre, we are in direct contact as a church with some 550 different families. I want you to know, friends, that these people attend the family centre, but they don't, or the vast majority of them don't attend New Life Church. I'm sure you would agree with me, this is a whitened harvest field. A field that is ready and white. And the challenge before us is to reach these people with the good news of Jesus Christ. It's been encouraging over recent guest services to see some families who attend an activity starting to come along to our guest services. It's also been encouraging to see some of the staff members beginning to attend our guest services. Those who are employed by us, it's been encouraging to see them coming. And those who are employed by SureStart, staff members, over recent guest services, have started to come along. You could say we are seeing something of a breakthrough. A little chink in transferring people from an activity that links them to new life to getting them to hear the sound of the good news of Jesus Christ. A cloud, perhaps, the size of a man's hand, but an indication that behind that cloud, there is an abundance of rain There is a harvest field that God is wanting to break through in. Of course, our community involvement, it goes beyond what takes place in our family centre. The Columba Project, that's headed up by Maureen and Colin Westerman, caters for the homeless people, the prostitutes, those who've got life-controlling addictions. On a weekly basis, they are there with their doors open on a Monday and Tuesday night, serving those people. I phoned up this week and I said to Colin, how many people do you get coming through your doors on a weekly basis, on a Monday and Tuesday? Colin said, we average between 25 and 30 people who are coming along every week. When I phoned up, Maureen wasn't in. She was out with Kath, giving food parcels out. Praise God. When we were doing what we were doing, someone from our fellowship was out in the community giving food parcels out to the needy. Tremendous community activity. Then there is the work that John and Janice do on our behalf in distributing the food to those in need. And many have been helped and blessed through this ministry. Your contribution each week of bringing a tin along of non-perishable goods have been the means of blessing so many people. I want you to understand that. Your tin every week has been the means of blessing so many families. I just think we need to get into the habit of bringing a tin along. Or something non-perishable. Go to the cupboard every week and just bring something along. Get into the habit. It's a good habit to get into. Because it's just one thing that you bring. But I want to tell you, friends, if we all did it, it multiplies and has a great effect on more that we can do. Need is coming to us all the time. This week, Kevin got a telephone call from someone in Redcar, someone on the front line of social services, talking about someone in desperate need in Redcar. Thank God we were able to bring a food parcel tonight to meet that need. Need is always with us, friends. And your contributions go a long way to blessing people. Our food bank, the newest ministry, is almost ready to be launched here at New Life. It's the first in the Northeast. We acquired the keys this weekend on Friday for a shop over in Billingham Precinct, where the food is going to be stored. God has marvelously, miraculously provided for that. We have been blessed beyond measure in getting premises free of charge, with even the owners of the premises contributing to the finance and giving a gift towards what's going on. It's costing us nothing, and we're gaining from it. And the hand of God is already upon this project. This project will provide food for needy people, those who have fallen upon hard times. Jesus said, the poor you always have with you. All the frontline agencies, doctors, social services, healthcare workers, they're all going to be involved in helping to distribute vouchers to those who are in need. On Friday, Kevin and Hazel, who are spearheading this project on our behalf, Kevin was interviewed on Friday by Radio Tees. And I know that some of you here have been to the presentations that have been going on in the area. We are the first food bank to open up in the Northeast. I think that's tremendous, don't you? We are the pilot for this area. And I know that you have already indicated, some of you, that when it gets up and running, you want to get involved. Kevin made a presentation on Thursday to the ministers in the town. And they too are excited about the prospects of the food bank. And we are already receiving indication from several places of help that will be available and coming in. One, they got an email this week from a school in Sunderland who said that they wanted to provide, through the school, finance and donations for the food bank. We believe the hand of God is already on this. Of course, it's a pilot for us, some new ground that we are breaking. But it's our desire, perhaps, in Stockton and in Redcar to have food banks in both those places as well, to minister to the community where God has called us to serve. Then we cannot forget the other acts of kindness and the good works that are done on a personal level and on a church level on a weekly basis that have a direct result and affect the communities where God has called us to live and serve Him. Jesus said, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, you will not lose your reward. Anyone, friends, looking at our community involvement as a church could say that we as a body of God's people are actively involved in our community. That our light is shining. That the good works that we are doing are being seen by people, and we trust glory is going to God. But I'm reminded this morning that the title of this message is Breakthrough in the Community. And I want you to understand that all that we are involved in as a church, as good as it is, and thank God I believe it is good, it does not constitute a breakthrough in our community. Which brings us on to the third and final question, which is, if we are not experiencing breakthrough in all that we are involved in, if we are not experiencing breakthrough, what would breakthrough in our community look like? As a body of God's people, we are affecting between 600 and 750 different families every week by providing a service to them. But our effect on the area, the community where God has called us to serve, is having no effect apart from an effect upon those who are presently recipients of our services. Billingham has a population of 37,000 people. Redcar has a population of 37,000 people. And lo and behold, the catchment area where the church is located in Stockton on Elm Tree is a third of the population of Stockton. It too has a catchment area of 37,000. Whilst we are affecting some people, we are not affecting all. And the challenge before us is this. How many of those thousands of people that are not already in contact with us, how many of them know that we even exist? I want to suggest the vast majority of them haven't got a clue. Not aware that we exist. How many people in Billingham, Redcar and Stockton know that New Life Church exists in those three locations? If a stranger pulled into any of the towns that we are ministering in, if a stranger pulled in and asked direction to one of our three churches, I wonder if the person that they'd stop to ask the question would that person be able to help them? Would that person be able to point them to New Life Church, Billingham, Redcar, or Stockton? That's the real challenge that we face. Paul Scanlon, the senior leader at Abundant Life in Bradford, I can remember in one of the messages that I heard him preach, he said at one time nobody knew about the church in Bradford, Abundant Life Church. But through the various community activities that the church engaged itself in, the church has now become known. So if you were to stop people in Bradford, in the city of Bradford, and ask, where is Abundant Life Church? Most people say, oh, that is the church that helps people. And they would be able to point them to Abundant Life Church. Friends, can I say, the more that we engage with our community, the more involved we are with them in all levels of life in our community. I believe that we ought to have governors in our schools from our church. Amen? I believe that in the world of politics, God wants us to have people from New Life ministering into that. Into the social areas of our society. If we're going to gyms, the reason we're going there is to make Jesus known. And not just to get fit. It's to put the presence of God into those places. The more we will become known, the more we get involved. Of course, publicity, that helps to put churches on the map. Radio Tees began their broadcast. Kevin was in the office being interviewed. I went into the car and went outside and listened to it on the car radio. And they had the van there with the big mast up in the church car park. And I went outside to listen to it. And they began their broadcast by saying, we are here at New Life Church, Billingham. Now, I don't know how many thousands of people heard that, but I suspect a lot of people heard it. So perhaps people who didn't know that we existed through the media of the radio heard that New Life Church in Billingham is getting involved in a project called Food Bank. Leafleting the area. That is another way that the church becomes known. I know that in Redcar, Jimmy's having a lot of success as he's going out with leaflets around the area where the church is. Making known that we are there. That we are in that place. Talking about the church. Friends, there's a lot of negative things can be said about the church. But I thank God, I believe we're in the best church in England. I really do. And I think it's good to talk the church up. Use Facebook. Every week on Facebook. This morning I put 3 messages on. Last night I put 1 on as well. Just talking the church up. Letting people know. I'm friends on Facebook with about 250 people. Woohoo! 250. Well, 250 people, if they use Facebook, will see my profile. Thank God, Beth. Where's Beth? Is Beth in this morning? She put on Friday night. Or was it Wednesday night, Beth? We had a great youth meeting tonight. Sean gave a great word. Hallelujah. Talk the church up. Speak well of the church. It gets us known. But in my opinion, my humble opinion, this is not the ultimate breakthrough that I believe that God is wanting to give us in our community. The breakthrough, friends, that I believe that God is wanting to give us is when everyone in the community is affected by God. When everyone is filled with the knowledge and the presence of God in a community. And for that to happen, I realize it will take a sovereign move. God grant it. A sovereign move of God. For God to come into our communities. So that the whole communities are affected by the presence of God. The Bible says that Jesus could not be hid. Wherever he went, he affected people. The crowds were drawn to him. When he came to Capernaum, the whole of the population in Capernaum was affected by him being there. Listen to what the Bible says. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. Listen to this. The whole city was gathered together at the door. The whole city was stirred. In another instance, it says, he entered Capernaum again. And after some days, it was heard that he was in the house. And the crowds came. Friends, Jesus, like steel filings to a magnet, his presence affected the crowds and drew them to himself. I thank God, the Holy Spirit, his work is to draw people to Jesus. He is drawing people to the Savior. And I believe, friends, that the breakthrough in God that we're looking for is a breakthrough that will invade this community in such a way that people will know that Jesus is on the throne. It won't affect the few. It will affect the thousands. Hallelujah. In my preparation this week, I've asked the Lord the question. Am I being unrealistic? Am I being unrealistic to believe that this could ever happen? Is it just my fanciful thinking that such a thing that could ever be possible? So that everybody in our community knows that Jesus is alive. Deep in my spirit, friends, I want to tell you I have a witness that it is gloriously possible. That it could happen. Hallelujah. With God, nothing is impossible. I'm reminded of the great moves of God in the past. When God affected whole communities by his presence and power. Two such moves of God immediately spring to mind. They're referred to as the Welsh Revival and the Hebridean Revival. The Welsh Revival in 1904, the Hebridean Revival in 1949. And the instruments that God used were a man in Wales called Evan Roberts. And the Hebridean Revival, an instrument that God used was a man called Duncan Campbell. On both occasions, whole communities were affected by God, by his presence. In fact, the whole population of Wales, the entire principality of Wales, was affected by what God was doing. There was nobody in those communities that didn't know that God was at work. And friends, this is the breakthrough in our community that I'm believing God for. For God to come down and to move amongst us. I just want to show a short clip of the DVD. Thanks, Ian. It's only 3 minutes long. In 1924, Bishop Auckland, the town where I went to live when I got married and the town that I was saved in, had a similar awakening of the presence and power of God. It affected the whole town. Some of you have heard me relate this before. It began with a young girl called Celia Brown, who was born without any eyes. All she had for eyes were the sockets with no eyeballs. God granted a miracle. And after Stephen Jeffries had finished praying for that young girl, God had created a pair of beautiful blue eyes. The whole town was stirred. I remember Tom Wilson. He was converted during those days in Bishop. He later became a well-known evangelist in the Assemblies of God and traveled the world. I remember sitting in his front room and him telling me that as a young man, he was in a dance in Bishop Auckland without any thought for God, a godless young man. And he said that as he was in the dance, suddenly the presence of God invaded the dance hall. And the fear of God gripped his heart. He ran out of the dance hall. For those who know Bishop Auckland Main Street, it's quite a long street. He ran from the top of Newgate Street to the bottom of Newgate Street where the town hall was, where the meetings were being conducted. And he gave his life to Christ. Bishop Auckland in those days was famous for its amateur football team. Thousands of people used to go and follow the football team. And the song of the Lord was heard on the terraces of Kingsway Football Stadium. As the songs that were being sung in the town hall were being echoed from the terraces of the football field. Mounted police controlled the crowds. Friends, it's an awesome thing when God invades a community. When God's presence and God's power comes in such a way, it is an awesome thing for a community to experience breakthrough. David said, "You have broken through my enemy like a breakthrough of water." And he called that place Baal Perazim, the God of breakthroughs. I thank God, He is still the God of breakthroughs. Amen? He is still the God of breakthroughs. You see, friends, when God breaks through, David said it's like a breakthrough of water. It's like a tsunami that comes and sweeps everything in front of it. Nothing can withstand it. When those tsunami came, no human barriers that man had put up could prevent the destruction that was caused by that massive wave. It took everything in front of it. Nothing could stay its power. And I want to tell you, friends, when God comes, nothing can stay His power. His presence comes in a very miraculous way. And suddenly, we've had it highlighted time and time again as the guys have ministered on breakthrough. Breakthroughs happen suddenly. And I want to say, friends, if you are believing for a breakthrough, don't give in. Don't give up. Because God can work suddenly. Breakthroughs happen suddenly. Oft times, unexpectedly. And the old goes. And the new comes. And everything's changed. That's what happened at our conversion, wasn't it? We became brand new people. The old went and the new came when we were born again of the Spirit of God. We used to sing a song years ago, "When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, all fear is swept away. When Jesus comes, night is turned into day. And everything is changed when Jesus comes to stay. Just one touch from the King It changes everything. I want to tell you, friends, God can do more in 5 minutes than we can do in a lifetime. When He comes, when His power and His presence comes, all that God would come and grant us a breakthrough in our community. That we might have an Acts 2 experience when the whole population of Jerusalem knew that God had come. Hallelujah. 60,000 people in Jerusalem, it is estimated, came to Christ at that time. 60,000. The Bible says multitudes, both of men and of women, were being saved. Started with 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. Then 5,000 at the healing of the lame man at the beautiful gate of the temple. And then they couldn't count them. Multitudes, both of men and women. And a lot of the priests were converted to Christ. God grant us that experience again. All that you would come down. We saw it there in the video. And rend the heavens. All that you would come down amongst us. And rend the heavens. That the mountains might tremble at your presence. Hallelujah. The hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. That the communities where God has called us to minister and serve will be touched and shaken by the power of God. There is only one thing that we can do in the meantime. Should God grant us this sovereign move of His Spirit, there is only one thing that we can do. We need to keep doing what we're doing. We need to keep going. New ministries need to come on stream. We need to keep doing what we can to affect our community. We're not to sit idle and do nothing and wait for it to happen. We've got to keep busy. Part of the Word of God, 2/3 of the Word of God is go. And the Great Commission is still go. Get up and go. As they went, the Lord went with them. Friends, we ought to be actively involved in the Great Commission. Not the Great Commission becoming the great omission. That we do nothing, just sit and wait. We are to go. And I think we can cooperate with God as well. Because when I examine moves of God down through history, He has always had cooperation of people. Your people shall be ready, the Bible says, in the day of your power. In the Welsh revival, God made people ready. In the Hebridean revival, you know how it started? Two old ladies. Both of them were disabled. One was blind, I think. Who prayed and heard God speak to them to invite Duncan Campbell. Instruments that you would just bypass, God used. In Bishop Auckland, a lady by the name of Mrs. Cresswell, who was the wife of the postmaster, and a few other women gathered in a barn where Kathy and John live at Witten Park. They prayed for God to come and hit the town of Bishop Auckland. Bishop Auckland had pubs on every corner. It was notorious. And they invited Stephen Jeffries to come. Instruments, friends, that God had made ready. It is time to seek the Lord till He comes and He rains righteousness upon us. Till God comes down amongst us. The question I want to ask this morning, are you willing to play your part that God might grant us a breakthrough in this community? What would it be like, friends, to see God at work, eh? In Billingham, in Redcar, Stockton, right over this Tees Valley. What would it be like to see God at work? Friends, we're not just talking about our church. We're talking about churches of our brothers and sisters, leaders in other churches. Every boat, there's enough fish for every boat. And when God begins to move, all the churches will begin to see God doing something. It's happened in Argentina. It's happened in Brazil. It's happened in some of these South, the South American countries. All churches are affected by what God does. I want God to bless the Baptist Church. I want God to bless the Church of England. Received a great email just last night from one of the ministers who asked us to pray on Thursday that there was a very important meeting taking place yesterday for the C of E in Billingham and the future of it. And he wrote an email, hardly able to contain himself, to let us know how God had answered prayer and how God had broke in amongst them. Friends, it's not just New Life Church. We want to see His church built. The church of Jesus Christ. Friends, it's not us going to them. At the moment, we are going to them. When God breaks through, the effect will be the opposite way. They'll come to us. We go to them and affect the few. When God breaks through, it affects the thousands. And my prayer is that God will grant us and be merciful to us a breakthrough. That's what I'm believing God for. A breakthrough in our communities. You know, if there's anything that I desire, anything, friends, before my time is over here, before the baton is passed on, if there was anything I would ask the Lord, it would be this. God, grant us just a breakthrough. Just a breakthrough where God will come amongst us like a breakthrough of water and begin to do something mighty. I think in this church, I've known in my Christian life two times, I think, when God broke through. Significant times. Once was in Bishop Auckland. And when it happens, friends, you can't explain it. Pastor Parry had gone to, who was the pastor of the church, he'd gone to Nairobi Bible College. The church was without a pastor. And as young people, we set ourselves to seek God. And I can't explain it, friends, but the breath of God just came into the church. I had no pastor. I had no leader as such, but the breath of God came into the church. Souls were being saved. The church was increasing. We could count up to 70 young people serving God with us, on fire for God. And it was nothing more than a sovereign move of God. I can trace it back to those Saturday nights when we began to see God. And once in this church, in 32 years, and I can trace it back to a time when we sought God on a Saturday night. No agenda. We just came and sat before the Lord, waited upon God, cried out unto God. I want to tell you, friends, the spiritual temperature in this place went up. It went up. And God began to do something amongst us. We began to see increase in ways that we'd never seen it before. And God breaking out amongst us. You see, we can prepare our hearts to make ourselves ready. And I think God is just saying to us, if we want to see breakthrough in our community, it's more than just wishful thinking. We've got to say, here am I. Wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord. I will seek the Lord while He may be found. I will call upon Him while He is near. And friends, if we were to see breakthrough, I say if because it's all in the hands of God, we'd never be the same again. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah.